Good morning to all of you here at Bridge City Church, North Braddock. If we hadn't had a chance to meet yet, I am John. I am the campus pastor that Tyler, one of our elders, was mentioning. And I'm so excited to jump in to this series called What's the Point, where we're going to be looking at several topics over the next 6 or so weeks, where we're asking, what's the point of this? But before we do that, some of you may have noticed, if you follow us on social media, that's Instagram or Facebook, you would have known that we were doing, first and foremost, a brand new merch release today here in the house. This is one of the new shirts. Come on, somebody. Some of our worship team members were flossing some of the new gear that you can purchase today back at our merch pop-up. So I encourage you to check that out. And if for some reason we don't have your size available, we can order it for you. So take advantage of that. But if you were following us on social, you would not only know about the merch, but you would have heard about the merch giveaway we were going to be doing for people that started liking and following us on social media. And so before we get into the message, I want to announce the winner of the merch giveaway here at the North Braddock location. And Lynn Ackerman, where's Lynn at? There she is. Lynn is here. Lynn is going to receive free merch because she followed us. And if you're like, hey, I want some free merch, well, follow us on social media and catch the next giveaway. You know what I mean? Don't miss out on that. I mean, not only will you get an opportunity to win stuff, but like Tyler said, you're going to hear powerful testimonies, see updates. So if you don't follow us, go ahead, follow us, like us, share us, do all of those things that all the cool kids do on social media nowadays. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about what's the point of prayer. What's the point of prayer? As I was thinking about this, I was instantly reminded by the Holy Spirit of an account in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5 where Jesus is being beckoned by a religious leader whose daughter has fallen sick to the point of death. And so he's going to Jesus. He's requesting Jesus to come and to step into this dire situation that he's facing with his daughter. And while he's going to get Jesus, Jesus is being crowded around by people, and there happens to be another individual in dire need there who happens to apprehend Jesus before the religious leader can get to him. And so Jesus is in the midst of helping this woman who had been suffering with her own sickness for 12 years. And so this religious leader, he's delayed in getting Jesus to help with the need that he has. And while Jesus is delayed, some people from the religious leader's home, they come and they say this to him in Mark chapter 5, verse 35. You can look it up. They said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" See, and the reason why I share that this morning is because if we're honest, that's how many of us approach prayer, isn't it? We feel like there's a delay in our request. And for some strange reason, we don't instantly go to, well, God might be helping somebody else out. But we instantly think, man, God just doesn't care. He's uninterested. So why bother? Or if we're honest, right? The situation gets so insurmountable that we figure, why even take it to God as if he was somehow unable to help? And so as we dive in this morning looking at what is the point of prayer, my hope is this, that you understand that there is a point to prayer. But even more so, that you would not stop praying, even if it feels delayed, or even if the need feels too big, or even if you feel like you're too small for God to care. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. It's the first book in the New Testament. We're going to be jumping right into Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading here at verse 5. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation this morning, and it's going to be on the screen for you here. But Jesus starts off, he's in the Sermon on the Mount here, and he's encouraging the people that are sitting there listening to him to pray. And so he says in verse 5, he says, when you pray. Now I want to pause there and help you understand, he doesn't say if you pray, but when you pray. Because there is an expectation that you would pray. Not just because God deserves it. Okay? God deserves for us to interact with him. But even more than that, because God desires it. See, because here in a minute, when he teaches his disciples how to pray, it's the prayer that probably most of you are most familiar with, commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, when in all honesty, it's the disciples' prayer. Because as we see in this prayer, it can't be the Lord's Prayer, because part of it is asking for forgiveness of sins, and Jesus never sinned. So it can't be his prayer, it's our prayer. But this prayer is going to start off with a term of relationship, our Father. See, and so Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray, not just because there's an expectation for prayer, because God desires it, but hopefully there's an understanding that God is not some austere, far-off deity or cosmic being, that he is your heavenly Father who desires interaction with you, and what's more, he desires to bless you because he is a good Father. And so Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Now, he's not condemning public prayer. He's condemning showy prayer. There's a difference. Because at the end of our time here this morning, we are going to publicly pray with you and for you if you so desire. But it's this false prayer where you're not praying to interact with God, you're praying to look good to people. And so he says, when you pray, don't pray just out of a rote religious thing. Because he says, I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, see it again. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you. Some of you have maybe heard the term my prayer closet or my secret place. This is where that idea comes from. See, because here's the thing. It's what's done in secret that really defines you. And there was a lot of religious leaders in that day that could stand up and pray very flowy, very flowery, scholarly prayers, but the prayers were empty because they weren't for interaction with God. They were to influence people to think something about them. But God says, when you pray, go into your secret place, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father who is in private. Then watch this. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So it's not just a It's not an if, but a when, but it's also there is a reward when we pray. And I love this word for reward here because it literally means this. It means dues paid for work. The appropriate outcome for appropriate input. And I want to encourage you today that prayer is work. But when you work at prayer, you will get an appropriate outcome for your input. See, and when we look a little bit later on, we'll see in James chapter 4 that God says, you have not because you ask not. But then he also says, you ask and don't receive. Why? Because you want to spend it on yourself. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But the idea that we have to understand is that there is a reward for prayer. And all throughout the Bible, it says reckless stuff like, whatever you ask for in my name, you'll get it. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. But before we get there, there's some misconceptions that we have about prayer that we have to understand, and you'll see them on the screen here behind me. For the sake of time, I'm not going to try to unpack all of them because I could stay here for several weeks unpacking these misconceptions for you. But nevertheless, we do have to understand that there is a methodology, a modus operandi, if you will, of prayer so that it can be effective prayer. Because if we're honest, a lot of times we don't pray or we wonder what's the point of praying because we either don't pray effectively or pray with effort and work, or we pray with wrong motives or wrong understanding. So prayer is not just about getting what you want. We're going to talk about that here in 2 minutes. Doesn't have to sound spiritual or formal. I remember Pastor Nick, our White Oak campus pastor, telling me a story about a gentleman who was new to the faith, and they were having a prayer meeting, and this guy, he's crying out to God at the top of his lungs, and he says, "I'm tired of this bleep, bleep devil and his bleep, bleep stuff." I have a friend who does great crusades all across the globe, and he says this. He says, I'll take an honest cuss word over a hypocritical hallelujah any day of the week. Because he already knows what you're doing in secret anyway. Be honest. Now, I'm saying somebody might come alongside of you and say, "Okay, brother, maybe we'll work on that." But you don't have to sound spiritual or formal. You know, help me God is an effective prayer. And some of you woke up this morning and under your breath prayed and you said, "Good Lord, it's morning." You just got to flip the words and say, "Good morning, Lord," and you're praying already. You just got to, just a tweak. If God doesn't answer quickly, God is not listening. That's a misconception. Why? Because God's delay is not God's denial. Here's one: prayer is a one-way conversation. You are not placing an order at Wendy's. You will not hear the Father in heaven say, "Please pull around for your prayer request." It's dialogue. And as you grow in prayer, one of the great things about prayer is this: it actually becomes less about wish lists and more about relationship. See, and that's important for me because here's the thing. As a dude that grew up without an earthly dad, having a heavenly dad that's always available, always shows up, always provides, never lets me down, always tells me how much he loves me, man, that's a game changer. And I access that through prayer. This is a big one. While prayer can change circumstances, and you should pray for circumstances to change, prayer is not about changing circumstances, it's about changing you. I remember early in my Christian walk, a little over 20 years ago, me and my mom were beefing, and I got mad, and I cussed at her. Now, for a Christian, that's bad, but some of y'all know, like, if you raise your voice at your mom, you will be talking face-to-face with Jesus. But I stormed out of the house, and I went to my apartment. Actually, it was really her apartment that she let me live in. And I started, "God." And I mean, my mom was out of pocket. She was wrong. But as I'm praying, God says this to me. He says, "If I can't trust you to honor and obey ridiculous things your earthly mother says, how can I trust you to obey ridiculous things that I tell you to do?" And in that moment, prayer stopped being about God changed my mom, and it started changing me. Prayer can change things, but the greatest thing that prayer will change is you. So what's the point of prayer? Four things for us this morning. First is this: prayer helps us to engage God's presence, which brings peace. Jump down to verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6 there, if you will. Jesus says this: "Pray then like this," right? So when he says, "When you pray," and you're like, "I don't know how to pray," he's like, "Okay, here's a template." You can pray the Lord's Prayer word for word, that's great, but it's actually a template, it's an outline, right? You start with our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. You start by reverencing your heavenly Father, right? So it's an outline. There's a great book on this. I believe Cheryl is leading Connection Group through Praying with Confidence by a pastor friend of mine. Pastors here in the city of Pittsburgh, Pastor Jeff Leake. It's one of the best books on prayer I've ever read. But he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to stop there. Because prayer engages God's presence in a way that brings peace. This is how it does it. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Here's the problem is that we think that God's presence is reserved for us when we die and go to heaven. God's presence is here right now. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God's presence is alive inside of you by the Holy Spirit. But see, we have access to God's presence. This is why Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way. He taught them to begin by inviting the presence of the Holy King into their daily environment. By praying, watch this, for the invasion of the king's dominion. That's what the word kingdom means. It's two words mashed together. Kingdom means king's dominion. We start by praying for the invasion of the king's dominion into our earthly realm. Because where the king's domain is, there the king is also. I want you to think about this. If you grew up like me, maybe from time to time, you found yourself in a magisterial district office. Or perhaps in a courtroom of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And everybody knows, especially if you grew up like me, you didn't want to be there because that meant you got caught. But if you were there, your hope was that you had a little extra bread that you could get a quality lawyer so you didn't have to go in there with what we call on the streets the public pretender, aka the public defender, aka the lawyer that's appointed to you and like 800 other people to give you legal care for free. Because as a citizen of the United States, you get the opportunity for free legal representation. But see, I loved going in with a higher paid lawyer. Why? Because I understood I had a better chance of getting off. Or maybe you're the type of person that didn't grow up like me, but from time to time you would find yourself in neighborhoods like I grew up in, and you were hoping to God that no one would jack you, rob you, shoot you, or do otherwise. And you always felt better when you had a bigger, badder, stronger, preferably armed individual along with you while you were going through that bad environment. I'm here to tell you today that prayer is powerful because while you're in the darkness of earth, the pain of earth, the confusion of earth, you can launch up a prayer to your Father in heaven and you will experience his presence with you in a way that makes even the scariest situation feel like you're protected. And when you feel protected, you get peace in your life. This is one of the most underrated points of prayer. To experience God's perfect presence in profound and peaceful ways. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, circle instead. It doesn't say when you worry about something, then pray. It says instead of worrying about stuff, pray. Game changer. Anxious prayers are less than effective prayers. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Everything. Now, don't be that person that takes it and you got to pray to see what kind of socks you're going to wear today. I mean, you can do that if you want. I just think there's more important things to pray about. But what he's saying here is there's nothing that you can't pray about. Wow. Pray about everything. Watch this. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. See, that's what happens is we bring the need but not the thanks. See, we want the giving but don't want the thanksgiving. Some of y'all will catch that on the way home. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. See, and some of you are in this room, I've had conversations with many of you, you're just like, I felt peace. You can't figure out God's peace. And it will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, I pray because when I pray, my heart and mind come under the rule and authority of the King of the Creator of the universe, who reminds me that he is with me, who reminds me that he is for me, that reminds me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, reminds me he will never leave me or forsake me. See, prayer does all of this. And when you feel the tangible presence of God just enveloping you like a strong father wrapping his arms around a frantic, panicked child, that's when you know God's peace. See, I don't have to worry about what's lurking around the corner or hiding in the shadows or hiding under the bed because the King is in the room. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's a game changer. Oh, I got an uncomfortable conversation coming at work. Even though I walk through the uncomfortable conversation at work, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Oh, I got a child that's addicted to drugs. Even though I walk through the pains of family addiction, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Man, the economy's turning and I don't know if we're gonna be able to. Even though I walk through an economic downturn, I will fear no evil because God is with me. And I experience the peace of God through his presence when I realize prayer works. The second thing we see here is perspective. Perspective. We're continuing here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is intended to give you and I heavenly perspective. But here's the problem. Many times our prayer are, my will be done, and in heaven as it is on earth. See, we need prayer to shift our perspective. Because heaven's will is perfect, heaven's will is pure. And heaven's will, hear me, is to see God's best invade your life. Let me help you out this morning. You can know God's will. Romans 12 actually says that. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Then, it says, then you will be able to know and prove what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God for your life. See, God's will is noble, but here, if you don't know what God's will is, I'm gonna give you a few that might help you out. Do you know that it's God's will for you to pay your bills? Did you know that? That's God's will for your life. How about this? It's God's will for you to be well in your body and mind. That's his will. By his wounds, we are healed. How about this? It's God's will for you to succeed and prosper. Now, the success and prosperity that he has for your life might be different than the success and prosperity you want for your life, but that's why you've got to get a heavenly perspective on what God wants you to be and do and look like. Well, I want to make a lot of money, but here's the thing. If God's will for you isn't to make a lot of money, it's to do X, Y, and Z. See, we wrongly believe that money equals prosperity. I know a lot of down bad rich people. See, it's finding God's perfect will for your life. Because when you're in God's perfect will for your life, man, you just love life. It's like that old saying, right? When you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I'm gonna shift it. When you do what God has designed you to do, man, it'll be the most exciting experience in your life. How many of you know that it's God's will to see the lost saved? So if you're sitting here today and you got a prodigal or you got friends and family members, you're praying for their eternal soul. You're praying heaven's will. And God wants to, through prayer, continue to give us a heavenly perspective. Because here's the thing that we have to understand. Sometimes heavenly perspective looks upside down from earthly perspective. How do I know this? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says, had the rulers of this age known what they were doing, meaning the devil and his demons, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Even his own disciples who heard him talk about this repeatedly for 3 years. I'm going to the cross. Actually, think about it like this. He's talking about it in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to go to the cross and die. And Peter says, I'll never let it happen. He literally calls Peter the devil. He says, get behind me, Satan, for you do not know the will of God. See, in every one of us in this room, if we were one of Jesus' disciples when he walked the earth, we would have been like every one of the other disciples. And when they arrested him and they beat him and they mocked him and spit on him and forced him to carry that rugged beam up the hill called the place of the skull. When they nailed him into the cross on a back that had been stripped to the flesh and bone and strung him out to die by slow crucifixion, every one of his disciples thought, that's it, it's over. But God flipped the script because the kingdom doesn't operate in the way that we do. And some of you right now might be going through a difficult hardship and you're wondering, what's the point of prayer? The point of prayer is to help you see heaven's perspective on what you're going through. So that you can sit back and say, my king got this under control. My king's got this under control. Prayer gives us that perspective. The third reason, the third, what's the point of prayer is this, it's provision. Let's go to verses 11 and 12 here. Give us this day our daily bread. So much in there. Notice he doesn't say, give us this day our steak for a week. Because steak is a luxury item, but we have to get to the place where we understand we're praying for what we need, bread, today. That doesn't mean he can't give you steak for a week or for a year. He'd call up Omaha right now, Omaha Steaks, send you a subscription. Some of y'all catch that later. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Look it up. Pull out your supercomputer and look up Omaha Steaks. And if you order something, hook me up with a T-bone. It's just a finder's fee, okay? Help me out. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. God wants to provide for you. He wants to provide for you. Later on in Matthew's gospel in chapter 7, Jesus says this. He says, ask, seek, knock. And then he says something that's profound because he says, if one of your children came to you and asked for bread, would you give them a rock? Or if they asked you for a fish, would you give them a snake? And then check it out. He says, and if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts? He wants to provide for you. And like I mentioned in James, he says, you have not because you ask not. Ask. Ask. And ask with right motives. God wants to give because he's a giver by nature. This is why when we take up special offerings for Ukraine and receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, we're not taking from you just to meet needs, we're giving you the opportunity to look like your Father in heaven by being a generous giver. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. So how do we ask appropriately? This is something that we have to understand. John 14, 14, this is Jesus saying this. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it for you. And some of you are like, oh, buddy, I got a list. But look at what John says in 1 John. If we ask anything, watch this, according to his will. See, and that's the thing that we have to understand. God's name and his will are the qualifiers in our requests. What does that mean? When we pray in Jesus' name, it's not just tagging a phrase on at the end of our prayer. Nothing wrong with that, but there's nothing magical about that. But when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying for things that are within his character and nature and will to do, right? So if we're praying for God to help us get a divorce, that's not in God's will. But if you're brave enough and man enough or woman enough to pray, God, restore my marriage, bingo. But it takes two to tango, right? God, meet my needs financially. We already heard, it's in his will. He wants you to be able to pay your bills. God, get me that all expense paid trip to Cancun. See, one's a need, one's a want, but I'm here to tell you, your father is generous. I was getting ready to, about 12, 13 years ago now, because Josiah wasn't born, preach a series on the miracles of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, and I'm getting ready at night, and I hear the Lord speak to me and say, I want you to tell my children they have a generous father. Huh? It's like, I want you to tell them there's no such thing as a financial miracle, and I'm like, whoa. Now, I know this is your voice, because I know your voice, but I also know, because at that time, I'm literally standing in my first house, which I purchased for a dollar. That's the financial miracle to me. So I want you to tell them there's no such thing as a financial miracle. I said, okay, well, help me understand that, because I'm experiencing one right now. And in the room next over is our daughter, Liliana, who's sitting here in front of me right now, and he says, if Lily asked you for clothes and food, would you consider that miraculous? I said, no. He said, well, would you consider it? I was like, well, I would consider it provide. It's my daughter. That's what I'm supposed to do. He said, okay. Well, what if she asked you for her favorite kind of food, or she asked you for a special dress or a toy that she really, really liked? Would you consider that miraculous? And I said, no. He said, what would you consider that? I said, I'd consider it generous. He said, I want you to tell them they have a generous father. The point of prayer is not to get to his hand. The point of prayer is to get to his face. Because I've officiated a lot of funerals in my day. And I've never heard one child grieving their lost parent say, I wish I had nicer shoes, or I wish I had more vacation. It's always, I wish I had more time in their presence. Prayer gives us presence that gives us peace. Prayer helps us to get perspective. Prayer helps us to ask our good dad for provision. And the last thing, prayer helps us to tap in to power. I'm going to have the worship team come up. On the screen behind me is a very significant verse from Ephesians chapter 3 talking about spiritual warfare. You're in a spiritual war. You are. The scientific natural world would like you to begin to believe that all that is known is what can be seen, touched, tasted, smelled, or heard. But there is a whole larger realm existing outside of and trafficking in and through this world called the spiritual realm. And we need power to navigate through that. But I want to even go beyond that. How many of you, if you're honest this morning, it's hard for you to get up and go to work every day? How many of you, even though you know God and love God, it's hard for you to deal with some of the losses or the pains or the wounds or the trauma that you felt in your life? See, when we engage our Father through prayer, we tap into a supernatural power that enables us to face the challenges of life. And it's so supernatural. It's so profound. In the same way God's peace is incomprehensible, this power is incomprehensible. So I can't tell you about it. All I can do is invite you to experience it. And the way you experience it is through prayer. And like I said, it don't gotta be, "Oh God in heaven, here I am to seek thee." Sometimes the power of God hits me. I just say, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't think I can make it. I don't understand." Romans 8 says that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us from within us, even with groans. And sometimes all you can do is just say, The Bible says that that groan is like all earnest prayer. It's the fragrance of incense rising to heaven. And the devil would love nothing more than to keep you from praying. So you know what I'm going to do, and what you're going to do, and what we're going to do, is we're going to tell the devil to go to hell, because that's where he belongs, and we are going to open these altars up for prayer. And we are going to pray in such a way that maybe, just maybe, the room will shake, or maybe, just maybe, that scar in your heart will heal. That lack of an answer will miraculously appear in your brain. That door that has seemed shut will swing open. That forgiveness that you needed or needed to give to someone else will drop from our Father who is in heaven, whose name is holy. Because none of us can make it through life without the power that God offers us freely through prayer. And so I'm going to have our prayer teams come forward to take their places. If you're joining us online, there's a prompt on your screen where if you need prayer, even though you're not physically here, we're going to have people praying for you. So just follow that prompt online. Put it in the comment section, whatever. However you're consuming this content, get your prayer requests in there. Because I'm sick and tired of the devil having his way with God's children. I'm done. And hopefully you are too. So as we get ready to receive prayer, what we're going to do is we're going to have you just get up from your seat where you are, come into one of these two center aisles, and we're going to start a line, and we're going to pray until everybody's prayed for. Our worship team is going to sing. But if you're here right now and you never gave your life to Jesus, the best prayer you can pray is, "Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I want to receive you as my Lord and say, I want to receive your Son." And so if you're here right now and you've never received Jesus, I want to invite you right now to just stick up your hand, because we're going to have somebody come to you and pray with you. Specifically, so right now, you want to receive Jesus as the forgiver of your past, the leader to your future, the Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you, stick up your hand. Say, I need Jesus in my life right now. I need Jesus. Amen. 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 Anybody else? I need Jesus right now. I need Jesus right now. Amen. Somebody get alongside my brother. We're going to pray with you. But if you're ready to come forward and say, "You know what, I'm going to give the devil a black eye today, and I'm going to go and receive prayer. I'm going to pray with somebody, and someone's going to pray for me." Just come on down. Start lining up right here. Just make your way down. Come on. Our prayer teams, they are trained. They are ready. Man, let's let earth feel heaven shake. Let's invite heaven into the earth. Let's invite Jesus into our circumstances. Let's invite Jesus, the will of heaven, the perspective of heaven, the power of heaven, the provision of heaven into our lives right now. You have a good Father. He loves you so much. Come forward this morning and ask, and you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you.